Blog Talk Radio.
Nobody stopping the shine. They try to break me, try to pick me up, but I'm gonna change it on my side. So bad I thought it would die. But ain't no one was stronger than the one who came and laid down his life. And I got lost in time. But the enemy can't stop me, cause there's a calling on my life. So when I'm crying, don't last too long. So he gon' step in and make it alright. Won't he do it? He said he would. Fight your battles for you, they gon' wonder how you sleep at night.
Hello, 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 and welcome to tonight's show. I'm your host, Tanisha. My sweetheart is not available tonight. We had a mandatory parent meeting tonight for one of our children, and Terrence went ahead and took one for the team. He said he would go ahead and attend, and I could stay here and do the show, so that's what we're doing. So hopefully he's back in time to pray over some of you, but I'm not sure if the meeting's going to run over. It's for JROTC, and they're going to be doing a lot of different things with the kids as the school year wraps up, so who knows. But I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad that I'm able to be here. So thank you very much for tuning in to PGN, where we don't just talk about it. We are about it. God has really been using this network in these end times to bring forth the prophetic and to just let us know what's going on. Amazing things that have been happening. If you've been listening into the different various shows between Randy's show and the prophecy revelation series and all the other prayer ministers that have shows. I know Sean does a show and Angela Joy does a show. There's just been everybody's been doing different shows, and they've all just been amazing. So hopefully you've been tuning in and catching wind of what the Lord is saying to us during these times. So tonight I'm going to talk about something that Terrence and I were talking about earlier. We were in Ephesians 6, and we were just talking about Terrence and I, we revelate and we just have deep conversations almost daily, and we don't like schedule it. We'll just start talking about something, and then we'll just go into, we'll either start revelating about something, or we'll just really delve into the Word of God. I actually just really love those times. I love talking about God's Word. I love the Lord and how He speaks to us. But we were talking earlier about when there's conflict within the body of Christ, because we're going to see a lot more of that as the days go on, as the years go on. Part of it is going to not be people who are genuinely part of the body of Christ, but people who appear to be part of the body of Christ, because everybody that claims the name of Jesus is not for Jesus and does not know Jesus. But we were just talking about when people, when you have people that present themselves both as members of the body of Christ, and how we are to, you know, if there's a difference in opinion, how we confront and love, and how we have to remember where the fight is. And so that's why Terrence and I were really delving into Ephesians 6. So I'm going to go to 13. No. I'm going to go to, you know what, let's just read, let's start at 11. I highly recommend you read all of Ephesians 6. It's the last chapter in the book of Ephesians. Very meaty, but this is what Terrence and I were really focusing on. Okay, so I'm going to read out of the Amplified, starting with verse 11. I'm going to read 11 and 11 through 13, okay? So, put on the full armor of God, for His precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavily armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. Therefore, put on the complete armor of God so that you will be able to successfully resist and stand your ground in the evil day of danger, and having done everything that the crisis demands, to stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable, victorious. So I want to go back to verse 12, and I'm going to read that out of the King James, okay? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is something that we always have to remember, right, when we're trying to fight people, because flesh and blood is people, right? That's what we're made out of. We're made out of flesh and blood. We're flesh and blood, and that houses a spirit, right? So again, let's read what we're not wrestling against. As far as it says, so we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So that's not the fight, people. Okay. But, okay. So he's telling us what you, this is not what you wrestle against, and then, but this is what you do, right? But against, here we go, principalities. Okay, that's one. Against powers. Okay, that's two. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Okay, that's three, right? Because we got principalities, we got powers, we got rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's four things that we're wrestling. Okay, let's break down. Okay, principalities. What is a principality? Let's look it up. We're going to delve into this. I didn't know that's where we were going tonight, but this is where we are. Okay? Let's find out what the fight is, right? Because you need to know your enemy. You need to know what you're fighting. So if we're fighting against principalities, don't know what a principality is. Okay? Let's find out what a principality is. So we're going to go to my favorite, Merriam-Webster, right? Myth principality is the state, office, or authority of a prince. The territory or jurisdiction of a prince. You know, I want to look up something. I wonder if, you know, I don't have time to look for it. Terrence has this big concordance. But so a principality is an order of angels, right? Fallen angels, so demons, that possess certain jurisdictions or territories. Like, for example, when I first went to Las Vegas, and there's, I'm sorry, and I'm not trying to offend anybody who lives in Las Vegas. I actually like Las Vegas. I'm not a gambler. I don't gamble. But when I went for the first time, I remember getting this feeling over me. I had fallen asleep, and when I woke up, I knew I entered. Something felt different. And when I looked up, I literally saw this big demon straddling. I saw in the spirit a demon straddling the city. It's like I saw Vegas. Las Vegas as this little tiny city, and I saw this big, huge demon straddling it, like standing with one leg over each side of the city, a principality. I saw it in the spirit. So I was like, whoa. So I was just heightened, like I was just on a heightened sense of awareness while I was there, and just in constant prayer. And the trip ended on a high note going to church. But, you know, there's principalities everywhere, okay? There's principalities, and we even know when in the book of Daniel, right, where he had prayed, and one of the angels said that he was trying to come, but the prince of Persia was stopping him. That's a principality. And then Michael had to come and fight off the prince of Persia so he could get to where he needs to go, this angel, right? So there's demons that are over territories. They have jurisdiction over territories, the principalities. So when you think you're fighting a person, sometimes you're not, well, you're never fighting a person, right? Sometimes it's a principality. So it's a demon that's over a jurisdiction, right? Like I said, the Vegas one. I saw it. And that doesn't make me not like Vegas. I enjoy Vegas. The times I would go, because it's a very clean city. Well, the parts I went to, at least, were very clean. I like the food there, shopping. So I enjoyed that part. So, like I said, I'm not saying that Vegas is a horrible place, because I saw the principality. There's principalities everywhere. God just, for whatever reason, showed me that principality. Okay? So that's what a principality is. Against powers. Now, this is the one Terrence and I really, we was about to foam at the mouth talking about powers. Powers are power. There's all sorts of powers. Courts are powers. The judge has powers, right? There's power, the powers that be, there's all sorts of power. That's such a catch-all when it comes to powers. Sometimes that's what you're fighting. Sometimes you're not fighting the demonic jurisdiction, you're fighting the power. There's powers, okay? Then, rulers of the darkness of this world. Woo, come on, somebody. Rulers of the darkness of this world. Please understand, the darkness of this world is not happenstance. It is not by chance. This is deliberate. There are rulers of the darkness. So if you see darkness in this world, which you see, if you open your eyes, turn on the news, you're going to see some darkness of this world, right? We can't escape it. It's part of our everyday life as we are in this world, but not of it. So we see it and we're aware of it all the time. To go on social media, like to turn on the news, go outside for crying out loud, and you're going to see some darkness. There's rulers of it. A person who rules is deliberate, right? Think of what a ruler does. A ruler sets rules, right? They have a way of doing things. The darkness of this world has rulers, demonic rulers. It's not by chance. This is deliberate. And sometimes that's what you're fighting, okay? Against spiritual wickedness in high places, okay? So we already know that the high places, right? They're typically the higher, the more power. And this is spiritual wickedness. Wicked is wicked, right? One thing about wickedness, it don't have no, there's no like boundary. There's no end to it. It's not like, oh, well, if you do this, then stage 1 through 10. No, wicked is wicked. Wicked. Let's look at wicked. Let's look it up. Let's look up that word. Vile, disgustingly unpleasant, causing harm, distress, or trouble. Very extremely. Let's look at the things that's synonymous. Bad, evil, rotten, unethical, unrighteous, vicious, villainous, dark, immoral, sinful, unlawful, unsavory, vile, wrong. Okay? Wickedness in high places. So this is what we have to remember when we're trying to fight people. Okay? We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. Okay? That's not what we're wrestling with. Okay? That's the first and foremost. What you're really wrestling against is rulers, authorities, against the powers of the dark. Let's go. We're going to read it. I started reading the NIV. Let's read it in the NIV. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Again, King James says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is what your fight is. Stop fighting people. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is not what you're fighting. You will fight a person. You will fight flesh. And you will get tired. You will get depressed. You will get worn out. You will get anxiety. You will have PTSD. You will be stressed out. You will not be able to sleep at night. Your serotonin levels will deplete and your cortisol levels will increase. You will gain a gut. You will gain weight. Your teeth will get loose. Your hair will fall out. You'll develop hives. Come on, like, this ain't what you want because it's not the fight. You're expending energy and wasting your brain power on something that's not your fight. What's your fight? Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's continue reading on. Okay? So this is what we know. This is what the fight is, right? So therefore, okay? So they're telling you that we're being told what the fight is, and then we're not left hanging there like, that's your fight. Bye-bye. Figure it out. No. Now we're given further instruction. Therefore, put on the complete armor of God so that you will be able to successfully resist and stand your ground in the evil day of danger, and having done everything that the crisis demands, to stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable, victorious. Let's go on, shall we? Let's go to verse 14. So stand firm and hold your ground, having tightened the wide band of truth, personal integrity, moral courage, around your waist and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and upright heart and having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace in preparation to face the enemy with firm footed stability and the readiness produced by the good news. Above all, lift up the protective shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So it's telling us what the full armor of God is, right? It's like, just put on the full armor of God, toodaloo. So now you're getting aluminum foil and praying over it, thinking that's the full armor. No, it's, we're told what is the full armor. Okay? Now let's continue on. Okay? We know what the full armor is. So now let's go to verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray with specific requests at all times. Ooh. Whew. Come on. Let me rewind that. Again, verse 18 says, with all prayer and petition, pray with specific requests at all times, on every occasion, and in every season, in the Spirit, and with this in view, stay alert with all perseverance and petition, interceding in prayer for all God's people. Specifically pray. Put on the armor and pray. Because this is what Terrence and I were talking about. People will come to us with problems, whether it be their own problems or problems with other people. And this has been my life since being, this has been my life even when I wasn't a believer. People always came to me for advice, even when I wasn't a believer, because I was always the type that studied people and always had a fascination with the human condition and ways to resolve things. I used to be told I had an old soul, right, because I had wisdom. Or I had worldly wisdom, but now God has given me godly wisdom. So one of the things when I became a believer, when people would come to me, especially when they had issues with other people, I mean, even if they had issues with themselves, the first thing I would normally ask, and even to this day, did you pray about it, right? But more so, especially if there was problems with other people, let's talk about that, because we're talking about how we don't fight people. So let's talk about that part. You come to me with a problem with another person, you know, I need advice, Tanisha, this is blah, 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 and I say, well, did you pray about it? You know how many people would tell me no? Most of them. Most of the time, it was no. They're seeking wisdom first. The Word of God is telling you what to do. This is the Word of God is teaching you how to fight. Right? Because you're not left alone. First of all, you're not left alone because you're not left without instruction. You have the Word of God that gives you instruction. There's nothing that you will face, see, experience in this earth that is not addressed in the Word of God, period. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing, 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 nothing new under the sun. Guess where you live? Under the sun, okay? So there's nothing that has not been seen that's under the sun. Everything that you could possibly face is here in the Word of God. There's instruction. Okay, so we're given instruction on how to deal with battles. And we're told first and foremost, your battle ain't with the person. Okay, your battle's with is telling you this is what these are the things that's creating the problem. Right, this is the true opponent. Then you're told how to fight that opponent. Put on the full armor of God. Then you're told what the full armor of God is. Right. Then you're told to pray about everything, be specific. So this is giving you full blown. This is what you're supposed to do. But when people will come to me and say, I got a problem with Sister Bernice. Did you pray about it? No. But the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray with specific requests at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with this in view, stay alert with all perseverance and petition, interceding in prayer for all. Let's read that out of King James, okay? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always. Even the Word of God, and there's another scripture that talks about never cease praying. But people will have a problem and don't pray. That's not the first resort. That's the last option. And we should always be in prayer. But this is something that we have to remember. Like, the Word of God is teaching us. It's teaching us. How much more do we need to delve into our Word and like, really break it down? Because this is what Terrence and I do. When we read Scripture, we break it down. That's what you need to do. Don't just read it. Study it. Break it down. Because it's teaching you. So that way, because somebody going to try you tomorrow. Somebody might try you tonight. And you're going to say, oh, no, you're not going to get me because I know I'm not fighting you. It's a principality. It's a ruler of darkness. It's wickedness and high prayer. It's power. It's something. Let me put on this full armor. Don't you dare go to your cabinet and get that aluminum foil and wrap yourself in it, pray over it. That is not the armor. You're taught what the armor is. Put on the full armor. Don't say put on some armor, right? If you ever study fights and battles and wars, these soldiers weren't allowed to even go out, right, and engage if they did not have their full armor, including their shield. Because make it make sense if you got everything on, but you don't have the head plate on, right? Or your breastplate. So you just wide open exposed to an arrow or a cannon or whatever gonna be shot at you, or you don't have your shield. Because even though your armor, when you study armor. Like Google it or something. Study armor. And what armor looks like or what it looked like. Because I don't think people wear armor anymore. At least not that old school kind. But study it. So they're covered literally from head to toe, and then yet they still had a shield as like another layer of protection, because there's always like little openings in the armor because they have to put it on, right? So there's little cracks that can open, and there's the shield is like a catch-all to protect you. And no different, the Word of God teaches us how to have full protection against the schemes. Let's read it one more time, then I'm going to start praying over you. So I want y'all to get this. And again, one might say, what's the armor? Let's find out, shall we? I'm going to read it out of the I'm going to keep it in Amplified because that's my favorite, and it just breaks it down so good. Okay, so starting with verse 14, again, we're in Ephesians 6, right? Ephesians 6. 14, this is teaching us what is armor. So stand firm and hold your ground, having tightened the wide band of truth. Ooh, come on, truth. You cannot fight the enemy with lies. Do not delude or deceive yourself. That's the first thing you need to have is the truth. Tell the truth even when it makes you look bad. This is something I saw Terrence do when he was going through all his court stuff. And not that the truth was bad, but we understood how it could make him look bad. There were certain things. And he told the truth. Because he knew he couldn't, you're not going to be on the side of right if you're lying. And they're trying to justify. Well, it's not that I was lying. It's just that, just tell the truth. Okay? So stand firm and hold your ground, having tightened the wide band of truth. And it breaks it down, personal integrity, moral courage around your waist, and having put on, okay, the breastplate of righteousness and upright heart. Because you know if your heart is rotten, because listen to what's coming out your mouth. Out of the mouth flows the issues of the heart. And if you don't know, ask the Lord to search your heart. Search my heart, oh God. Be like Dave, search my heart. Because God is the only one that got access. You know what's going in there, but you will delude yourself. You will trick yourself. You will try to make excuses for yourself. The only reason why I feel like that is because they done lied on my name or they done stole my money. No, search my heart, oh God. Search my heart. I need my heart to be upright. I don't need to be on the side of wrong. I want to make sure that I'm on the side of right. Because sometimes when you fight in that fight, you got some ill feelings towards that person. That's fighting you, that flesh and blood. So, Lord, make sure my heart right, okay? And having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace, in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and the readiness produced by the good news. Come on. The gospel of peace in preparation. The gospel. Gospel. How do you get the peace? By knowing the word of God and trusting it. That's your peace when all hell is breaking loose all around you. What did God have to say about it? That's where I'm going to reside. That's where I'm going to put my mind on. That's what I'm going to think on. I'm going to think on those things, right? Because that's going to give me peace. Above all, come on, lift up the protective shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Okay? So you got to have your shield of faith. Just like I said with the regular armor of the soldiers, that's like a catch-all. So even if your armor got a little crack in it, your shield can protect you. Right? And that's how your faith will protect you. Your faith will protect you. It says that it will extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, not some of them, not some of them, all of them, all of the flaming, fiery, flaming arrows of the evil one, because he's going to try it, okay? And take the helmet of salvation, okay? So we got that, right? We say, we good. We got the helmet of salvation. We sealed. We God's children. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's a sword. It's like a two-edged sword. You need the sword of the word of God because it's going to destroy whatever don't need to be there from who what you're fighting. And it's going to cut off in you what you don't need. Okay? Because sometimes, don't think just because you're a child of God that you're just automatically in the right. And sometimes you might be on the side of right, but you still got some wrong that needs to be cut off. Because you try to justify things, especially when you've been victimized, as the world would say. When you're the victim, you start to some bad thoughts start to creep in that you would justify. But that needs to be cut off. That's why we got to get into our word. Like I told y'all last week, I haven't gone into detail, Tess and I, about the court stuff that he was going through some years back. That it was some horrible stuff. And I'm like, what do I do? Because I got dragged into it. And it was the first time in my life that I could honestly say I had an enemy. And I'm not saying that everybody always has liked me. There's been people who have disliked me, right? I'm saying an enemy, a person who was seeking to take me out, to hurt and destroy me and everything attached to me, my children, my home, my people. That was the first time in life that I had experienced that. And I'm like, what do I do? And the Lord said, love your enemy. And I'm like, uh-uh, that's not, no. No. How do I do that? How do I love a person that's trying to hurt me in every way possible? And the Lord taught me through the word of God. But when you're in a situation, right, you're tempted to fight the flesh. And even when you're not fighting the flesh and you're trying to do the right thing, some bad thoughts can come in and that can lead to you to justifying things that you will do. But if you are in that word, the sword, that's the sword, which is the word of God, then you're not going to get tripped up like that. That's what I had to learn. I had to learn how to really wear that armor. So that was making right steps and something that I did often, daily during that time. Search my heart, oh God. Search my heart, oh God. Search my heart. Because I felt that anger. I felt that bitterness trying to come in. Search my heart and remove it and help me to make righteous steps. Like, that was hard. Especially when it was easier to just fight flesh for flesh. It was easier to just do things that I knew would produce what I thought would be, you know, would alleviate things. So doing it God's way did not provide immediate relief. and did not get us what God promised us. But we know that it will eventually. It prevented us from sowing bad seeds. It gave us peace. And it taught us, and it's still teaching us things. So you have to remember that when you're dealing with people. They're not your fight. God will give you strategies on how to deal with conflict with people, whether they're believers, right? Because sometimes it's your brothers and sisters in Christ. You ain't got to like them just because they're your brothers and sisters in Christ. You ain't got to like your real brothers and sisters, your bloodlines. But you got to love them. Sometimes you're not going to see eye to eye, but you still love them. But you don't, there's always going to be people you don't get along with that, whether they be part of the body of Christ or not. And it's the same rules that apply. It's still not a flesh fight. It's not a flesh fight. So you need to know what you're really fighting and put on your armor and get into your word and be praying and seeking God for direction, right? Because why do we pray? Right? You think God don't know what we need? You don't think God don't know what we want? Okay? And the main reason why we pray is to get instruction. Because God has to give you instruction on how to deal with every individual situation. Every situation ain't handled the exact same way. Now, there are certain principles that you have to apply to every situation, right? So you don't get, just because somebody over here is off the rails, you don't get to just do whatever, right? Because that, no, there's these principles still apply. Still not a flesh fight. It's still principalities, wickedness, it's still, you know, rulers of darkness, it's still power, like that still applies. Still got to put on the full armor. But how you deal with that individual, God will give you steps on how to deal with that particular individual so that you're not fighting them, right? But you're maintaining a level of peace or confining them or whatever needs to be done. God will give you instructions on how to handle that person. But you're not going to know if you ain't praying. I don't know what to do. Did you pray? God will tell you what to do. He'll just leave you there. Like if your children come to you and ask you what to do, I literally just had our youngest children ask me what to do when it comes to conflict. Youngest son had a girl who was hitting him, probably because she liked him. But he was asking me if it was okay to punch her. Because she kept hitting them. And I had to teach them, no. Don't punch girls. But we had to talk through what to do in the face of physical, somebody physically attacking you and you know, how to, like, you know, maybe try to restrain them or, you know, get away from them or, you know, what to do. So how much more if you're going to the Lord and saying, I'm having some conflict here, what do I do? You think he's going to say, well, figure it out? No, he'll help you. Because instead of you deciding and determining what's going to be the best course of action, you're seeking him. God loves that you come to him and you seek him. Say, Lord, how do you want me to handle this? What you want me to do? God loves that. He's going to give you the instruction on what to do. So let's remember that. We don't fight flesh and blood. Quit fighting people. You'll wear yourself out into the ground. You'll make yourself sick trying to fight people. God will teach you how to handle people. But this is instructions right here. Read all of Ephesians 6. Very meaty. You need something to read tonight. And study it. Study the word. It's all there. There's not one situation that you're going to find that the Bible doesn't address. And sometimes you just don't know how to apply it, right? So that specifically is not there. Not in those specific words, but there's a grouping that falls under that the Bible addresses, right? So let's do a quick corporate prayer, and then I'm going to start answering callers. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you for another day, another opportunity for us to come together, to gather, to study your word, to bring our requests before you, to seek your voice and your guidance and your love and your direction. We know that where there's two or more, that you're in the midst. So thank you, Father God. We know that you're here, that your presence is here, that your love is here. You're always with us, but we know that you're here. And so, Father God, give us what we need tonight. Give us the strength and courage that we need to continue on to the race that you have set before us, Father God. And Lord, have me to decrease as you increase. Give your people what they need. Feed your sheep, Father God. Love on your sheep. Let them know that you're there. You never leave. You never leave. You never leave. You don't leave us as orphans. You don't leave us to just figure things out. You're always giving us instruction and guidance and wisdom and mercy and grace. So we just thank you for that. And let this all be done. Everything that you want done in our lives, let it all be done. Let your will be done. Nevertheless, not our will be done, but your will be done in all of our lives. And Lord, we just love and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let me get my notepad up. I'm excited about what God is doing. Have you guys been keeping up with the news? I like to keep up. I like to know what's going on in the world. And that whole system outage this morning with the airports, that was wild. Also, I've been doing some research on the AI technology that's coming out. And I mean, sometimes I get overwhelmed because I know that it's going to be used in the end times to trick people, you know, with something that seemingly can be used for good, right? Anything that people create has the ability to be used for good or for evil. And so there's like, I think it's called like GBT chat or something like that. And then there's another one that I believe Microsoft is creating where you can give it a few, like just a few seconds of your voice and it can mimic your voice, tone, inflection, all that. There's also, of course, people know about the deep fakes where they can recreate video of you and it does not look computer generated. So God has really been having me really look into this AI technology because I know for a fact that this technology is going to be used in these end times to trick people. So we have to really just be, I'm not telling you to be part of the tin foil hat society, but we have to be aware of the technology that's emerging around us so that we know how it can be used. Something that I've always been interested in, I have a tech background. Terrence actually is in tech now. But we need to just kind of stay aware. So let's just felt like saying that. All right, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to unmute and get your name, pray for you, and then go to the next caller like Randy does on Wednesdays because I just want to make sure that I get everybody tonight. All right, first caller, 719-209.
Hello.
Hi, who am I speaking with tonight?
This is Ashley.
Hey, Ashley, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. I haven't talked to you in a while, it seems like.
I know. It's been a while.
But I'm glad you called in tonight. I know Terrence is going to be sad that he missed you. He's at a parent event. But he's always praying for you. Terrence, he's always praying for everybody. So am I. So even when you guys don't call in, we pray for you. You know, God will bring names across. And like, hey, we haven't talked to this person in a while. Let's pray for him, you know. So just know that. But I'm glad that you called in tonight. I'm going to mute you, and I'm going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for Ashley, Father God. We thank you for her just having the courage to believe, right? Sometimes it does take courage to continue to believe. I know for myself, I became a believer at a very young age. I was, I think, 21 or 22. I'm 43 now. And some of the things that God told me as a 21, 22-year-old baby in Christ, no background of church, right? Moral teaching, godly teaching, didn't know it was godly. but no church background. And some of the things that God told me about me and some of the things that I would be doing have not manifested until recently. So that's a long time to believe something and you haven't seen it. So sometimes it does take courage to continue to believe because just time, right? You start to wonder, like, did I make that up? You know, God really say that? Did, you know, you start to wonder, and it's easy to choose not to believe something anymore because you're like, ah, it's been 10 years, it's been 15 years, it's been 20 years, and that hasn't happened. So I just think that I'm misunderstood or I didn't hear that correctly. But I thank God for who he is, because in my case, some of the things that he told me, he would keep those, you know, those embers burning to say, so he would use somebody to confirm something, or it'd be little things that would remind me, little things. And people who did not know the promises and things that he told me, no way of knowing, he would use complete strangers sometimes to prophesy over me things. So that the belief will continue on. And so I thank God for you having the courage to continue to believe, because everything God says is going to happen. Right? If God said it, it's true. You could literally hang your hat. I've seen it in all my 20 plus years of serving God. And sometimes it does take a little while, but when God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Okay? It's going to happen. God said this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Not this could happen, this may happen, but when he says this is what's going to happen, it's going to happen, and have the courage to believe the promises that God has for you. It doesn't matter what it looks like right now. It doesn't matter, because just like that, things can change. I've lived it, and the snap of a finger is different. The environment is changed. Now the conditions are optimal. You know, it's just like that. So Lord, we just thank you for Ashley, Father God. We thank you for her having the courage to continue to believe your promises. And she could trust you. Right? Yeah, she's experiencing things. She sees what she sees. But what you said is what's the truth. Because there's truth, and then there's ultimate truth. So something that might be true right now it's 7:56, but in a minute, that's not going to be true no more. And I thank you for showing Ashley that just because it's true right now don't mean it's always going to be true. But what God says is true, that's true. Sometimes you're living in the right now, and that's just for right now. But the right now is a step leading to what God told you is going to be the outcome. So thank you for her courage in Jesus' name. Amen. That's good. Next is 910-709. Who am I speaking with?
Sylvia. From North Carolina. Yes.
How are you tonight?
Great. And you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for calling in tonight. We pray for you. Lord, we thank you for Sylvia, Father God. We thank you for the deep healing and showing the different ways that you heal. True story, I had noticed maybe some months ago that my stomach was getting a little big. You know, like you start to gain weight. You know, as women, we gain weight with age. But I'm like, dang, my stomach really looks like I bloated. So I'm like, is it what I'm eating? Like, I'm trying to figure this thing out. And then I got revelation about a situation. And I literally had peace about it. Like, I felt so good about it. I knew that situation that has really been bothering me, right? It's been bothering me for quite a while, but I knew in the spirit that it was going to resolve in 2023. And I really had got the revelation about that, and when it hit me, I really took hold of it, and I've noticed since then my stomach has not been big. Like, it literally took Like I was carrying it in my stomach. And from a scientific standpoint, when you're stressed about things, you literally will increase your cortisol levels, right? That's a chemical hormone in your body. And when your cortisol levels are elevated, one of the first things it does is it creates bloat in your stomach. Sometimes people can't lose weight, not because they're eating incorrectly or they're not exercising or drinking enough water, it's because they're stressed. And literally their body chemical is fighting against their goals, right? So that's just from a scientific standpoint. But I just noticed when I really took hold of what God was saying about this particular situation, and I'm like, 2023 is a wrap for it, I noticed my stomach shrank. And God is going to teach you about deep healing. Like sometimes the healing, it's really not from what we're consuming as far as physically, right? Like the foods, like sometimes it is food. Like God has taught me with myself, like what foods my body likes for certain things, right? Like to keep my blood pressure levels, you know, at a certain level, or to keep headaches at bay, or anxiety down, that kind of stuff, like because certain foods have like antioxidants or vitamins or whatever. And God knows your personal body makeup of what it takes for your body to run at optimum levels. But sometimes it's a mental thing that's causing the sickness, that's causing it to continue to fester. And God is going to really take you into the deep, for like deep healing, like how to get that total healing. Because you could be eating right and because of what's going on mentally, it could be causing all sorts of things to go on. Like a person could, you know, sit out in the sun and get their vitamin D and all that kind of stuff to help with their endorphins and serotonin so that their mood is elevated. But, you know, when a person is stressing about something, it could cause them to feel low, right, and feel depressed and all that kind of stuff, or anxiety to come on. But when they change their mind or get revelation about something, that can heal it just like that. So we can't discount the mental connection to our body. The mind and body is connected. Sometimes the deep healing comes from literally letting something go or forgiving a person who has legit done you dirt, who has lied, who has stole something from you, like letting it go, like for real. Sometimes we're like, I'm not tripping off that. I let that go. And we really, no, we haven't. We're carrying it. We're still carrying it. And it's affecting us in our body. But God is going to take you on a journey of deep healing. And he's going to use you to teach other people how to get that deep healing. Because a lot of times people are looking for healing and they're looking for it in an appeal or, you know, or an exercise program or a way to eat, and those are great, right? Those are great things that could aid us in having physical health. But sometimes it's because of something, a stronghold in our mind that's preventing and blocking that physical healing. So Lord, thank you for the revelation that she's going to receive about the deep healing and experiencing it in her own life and teaching it to others. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good. 334-590. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, it's Jalen Jamil.
Hey, Jalen Jamil. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Happy New Year to both of you. I'm excited about 2023, and you both should be excited about it too. So I'm going to go ahead and mute you and pray for you both. Heavenly Father, start with Jamil. Lord, we just thank you. It's like I see you. It's like seeing, like you're going to see yourself outside of yourself, if that makes any sense. I'm gonna try to break it down because I'm seeing something. So I'm going to try to explain what I'm seeing. Have you ever studied NDEs, near-death experiences? If you haven't, some people say when they die, and there's been reports. I'm fascinated by supernatural things, only because I've had supernatural experiences. I have not died, before, but I have had like heavenly experiences and stuff like that. So I'm always fascinated to see what people who claim to have died, what do they claim to see? But one of the things that they say is that they see themselves outside of themselves, right? So they could be on the surgeon's table and they're watching the whole thing go down. They're watching the surgeon do all this stuff, and then they come back into their body, and then they'll explain to the surgeon, hey, I saw you do this, you grab this instrument. The surgeon's like, what in the world? How did they know that? You know, they had earplugs in. There's no way they could have known that. But they were able to see themselves outside of themselves. And I see you having experience like that. Not that you're going to die, nothing like that. But just you seeing yourself outside of yourself and seeing yourself how God sees you, right? Seeing yourself how God sees you. Because we only know ourselves based on, you know, our experiences. We're housed in these bodies that we're in, right? And the Word of God says we're born into sin, shaped in iniquity. So part of our walk, we are literally undoing a lot of things to become who God created us to be. And some of the stuff that we are undoing has literally been there since birth, right? Some people say, oh no, that's just who I am because I was born like that. I was born from as long as I can remember. No, we're born in the sin, shaped in iniquity. So we're having to learn how to undo some of the things that we've been dealing with as a human for a very long time. Like with myself, I used to really have a for real anger problem that I had for as long as I could remember. I would get very angry. And I remember my mom would tell me that that was something that my dad's side of the family dealt with. And that side of the family has a lot of like people that go to jail and drug use and all sorts of stuff. And she would say, oh, you got that from those people. They just be angry. And so I could have easily taken the position that that's just who I am. And I actually did for a long time. And I wasn't going around beating up people or anything like that because I was not raised like that. I never started fights and all that kind of stuff. I only got into 2 fights in school, and they were not fights that I picked, right? It was more of a defense type thing. But I could have easily taken the position, well, that's just who I am, because as long as I remember, that I was a little kid and dealing with that. So I didn't choose the angry life. The angry life chose me. You know, I could have took that position, but God undid that. But he only undid that when I recognized that that's not who I was. That was something that I had experienced for whatever reason. I don't know why. I really, to this day, don't. I don't know why. Sometimes there's certain things that just are in the DNA. Sometimes we're not fighting demons. We're fighting DNA. Really. So maybe that was just something in my DNA. I don't know. But when I chose to see myself how God sees me, a lot of the stuff that was a part of who I was for a very long time left. I didn't like people. Left. I love people. I really do. I genuinely love people. Even people I don't like, I love them and want what's best for them. And it comes from a very sincere place. I don't benefit from it. I just want people to win. I really do. I want people to know Jesus. I want people to reach their full max potential. I want people to live their best life for real, not what they say. People will be facing a murder rap and doing all this, and they'll say, I'm living my best life. What? Not you're on trial for murder that you didn't commit, and you're thinking that this is your best life. Quit speaking that over yourself. But I for real want people to live their best life. But until I saw myself outside of myself and saw who God created me to be, that's when I started to, the things that, even though they had been there for a very long time, the things that were not who I was started to fall away. And I see you having an experience like that where God is really going to show you who you are. And sometimes he'll show you who you are and it don't match. When God said, I've called you for people and prophesied for people, love people and talk to people, and you're going to love me, love people. I don't like people, Lord. I don't like them. I don't even want them talking to me. No. But that's who I am now. Even though when he told me, it didn't match. It was like looking in the mirror and seeing somebody totally different. I'm like, mm-mm, that's not me. He said, that's not you right now. That is you, right? But that's not what you're experiencing, because there's things that you need to let go of mentally. And let's delve into why are you like that. And I see that's what you're about to go through. You're about to learn who you really are. right? Because stuff in our body, that stuff don't go with us. That stuff doesn't. That's just flesh stuff. Who you are is who you are. You are a spirit that's housed in a body. Maybe when I was angry, that wasn't who I was. That was something connected to my flesh. Spirit always going to take over the flesh if you allow it, right? Because the flesh, that's when you learn to live holy, that trumps everything. It don't matter what my flesh was prone to. If I choose holiness, I don't have to worry about that because I'm choosing holiness. So I had to choose not to indulge in the things that came naturally for me that I knew God was not pleased with. And that's how I learned to overcome and then make a habit of not doing those things. And next thing I know, those things were gone. So I really see that in you, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for him understanding who he is and being able to separate who he is from the things that he struggles with or the things that are preventing him from being fully who he is. And Lord, I thank you that he has the boldness and the courage, because sometimes when we're a certain way for so long, we feel boxed in and continue to be that way. Give him the courage to unbox himself. To not allow people to say, no, that's who you are. No, people can't tell you who you are. People could tell you who they've experienced, but you could change that. So give him the courage and the freedom to not feel like he's obligated to be who he's always been. That if you're changing him for the better, and if people can't accept that, oh, well for them. That's not his problem. He's going to be who you made him to be. You created him to be. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we thank you for Jayla, Father God. We thank you for this year, for her really getting that true understanding of who she is, really going into getting to the bone, right? There's a saying that some people are ugly to the bone. And what that means is that it's not even surface. Like, that means all the way, all up and through, like to the bone. And I see you getting to the ugly parts of yourself to the bone, like figuring, like really figuring out. Well, not a surface level, right? Because like sometimes the ugly parts of ourselves, let's look at them like weeds. You could cut a weed at the surface. And it looks good again. Your grass is A1 now. Like, wow, look at the grass. It's so amazing. No weeds or nothing. But if you don't dig that weed out from the root, it's going to come back up. It's going to show its ugly head all over again. Terrence and I know this from experience. Because where we live, our community used to be like farmland. And we're still surrounded by farms and stuff. So the land has certain types of weeds that would grow. And the developers, they just trying to make it look good. They weren't cared about digging up them weeds. And so first we're cutting the weeds and we have to start digging them weeds up because grass looking good. And like, oh yeah, look at our yard. And that ugly weed starts showing its ugly head if you don't get it to the root or to the bone. And I see God getting the ugly parts of you, and we all got them, to the bone. To the bone, digging it out at the root so that it don't rear its ugly head anymore. Because sometimes we get tired, we're struggling, we're like, I thought it was better. Oh, I'm aware of this. Just because you're aware, I was aware that I had weeds, but that don't mean that didn't change anything. I still had to take an action. You got to be more than aware that something is there. Now you got to put forth the action. That's the first step, is to know, right? Knowing is half the battle. That's what was taught when I was a kid by G.I. Joe. But you have to take it a step further than knowing. Now I got to address it. Now I know what it is. How do I address it? And God's going to show you how to address it to where it doesn't have to keep coming up. Because we'll get tired because we'll know something and we'll keep fighting battle, and then something's wrong with me. It's not that something's wrong with you. It's that you keep cutting it at the surface. It needs to be cut at the root. cut it at the root. So, Lord, we just thank you for Jayla, Father God, for the ugly parts getting all the way to the bone. Digging that thing all the way out. Digging those things all the way out. And that's going to hurt. But it's a good hurt. It's a necessary hurt. It's a surgical type hurt that's going to produce healing. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, next person. I think I hear Terrence. I don't know if he's going to come in here or not, but hopefully he does. 321-230, who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Aunt Elise.
Hey, Aunt Elise, how are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing good. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you. We'll mute you and pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for Aunt Elise. Father God, we thank you for her having victory in every area of her life. And that's due to her turning things over, putting them into your care, control, and custody. That's how we really have victory. And so it's when we really give it to the Lord. When we really say, here you go. Here you go, Lord. Give him total and complete control. And sometimes we pick and choose, because as people, we're multifaceted, right? We have so many, we have different roles that we might be a sibling, a cousin, we're a son or a daughter, we could be a mother or a father, we could be a teacher. There's so many different roles that we play. And there's so many different compartments of our life. There's us as the friend, there's us as the significant other, there's us as the neighbor, there's all these different areas. And sometimes, as people, we give the Lord certain parts. Like, Lord, I'm gonna give you my finances, but not my love life. Right? I'm gonna give you my love life, not how I raise my kids, or not how I eat, take care of my body, not how I take care of my home, not how I'm, you know, part of my community. Like, we have all these different areas that we like. I got this, but Lord, you can have this part. And I see you giving God every part of your life. Really allowing him to be Lord over it, to be over it, right? The Lord. Let's look up the word Lord real quick. Lord, one, having power and authority over others. The owner of land or other real property, right? I like that one. Because when you think about it, we're land, right? We're made out of dirt. So let's let him be Lord over all of us. Every possible aspect of our life. Let's let him have the authority and the power over it. Because sometimes, oh, no, I got this. I know what to do. But we're not having no success. In that particular area, because we haven't allowed him to be Lord over, and I see you turning things over and you really having true success in every area of your life. And the reason why is because of who you put the care, control, and custody of that area of your life, whose hands you put it in. Because we love ourselves, but we can really botch things. Even though we love ourselves, because we're just not all knowing. We think we know what's best for us, but we don't. Because we just don't have the power that God has, that he knows everything. We don't. We have very limited knowledge, but God knows everything. So when we give him the power, control, care, and custody of things, can't lose. So thank you, Father God, for Aunt Elise. We thank you for her turning it over, allowing you to be Lord over every aspect of her life and her seeing success in every area of her life. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next is 984301. Who am I speaking with? You there? 984301. I'll come back to you. Hopefully you're there when I come back. 704-492. Who am I speaking with?
Hello, this is Dastia from Canada.
Hey, Dastia, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. Haven't spoken to you in a while. I'm glad that you called in tonight.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to mute you and pray for you, Lord. We just thank you for Dastia, Father God. We thank you for help him to just continue to hold on. It's kind of like if you were listening, the first caller, Ashley, it's like the same thing. God is giving you the strength to believe the promises. You have to know who you are, first of all. I think I've told you this before, but you're called for wealth, right, financial wealth. And you're called to be wealthy in every area of your life, wisdom, health, all those things. But you literally have a call for financial wealth. But it's going to take, you know, you're going through some things, but you need to always know that about yourself so that you don't let go of that promise. You have to have the courage to believe that. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, have the courage to believe that. But don't try to make it happen, because that's sometimes the problem that we fall into. God will give us a prophecy, and then we'll try to force the prophecy. If God said it, it's already you're that's just you. You're gonna be financially wealthy. Period. You don't gotta try to force it. Don't try to make moves. If I do this move, that's gonna make me financially wealthy. That's gonna happen. So just let God order your steps, because sometimes the step don't look right as far as what God has told you ultimately about yourself, but trust God. I was just talking to one of my friends today about how some years ago, God told me to take a job that was a huge pay cut for me. I'm talking huge. And God has always told me that I'm called for wealth, financial wealth. This was even prophesied over my mother when I was in her womb. She said she had went to a bus stop one day. This is before they wasn't doing like sonograms and stuff where you know what your baby gonna be before your baby came out, right? You found out when your baby was born what you was having, a boy or a girl. And my mom said she went to a bus stop, she's pregnant with me, and a lady came up to her and said, "You're pregnant with a daughter, and she's gonna be a woman of great wealth and influence." And my mom was like, "Okay," and my dad just knew I was going to be a boy, and here I was a girl. And this is something that's been prophesied over me from like a very young age, even before I knew what prophecy was. And so that's just who I am. But I came to a point in my life where I took a job that was a huge pay cut. That didn't look like that was what God wanted from me, because I'm like, I'm a woman of great wealth. Why would I be moving backwards? But I took the job because I knew that's the job I was supposed to have. I didn't force it, so I could have easily said, because I'm a woman of great wealth, and I'm not going to lower myself and take 8 steps backward and be broken, poor, and hungry. I'm not doing it. No, I did what God called me to do, because I wasn't trying to force it. I know it's going to come when it comes. And so, Dusty, know who you are, but don't make your moves based on what God has told you. Make your moves based on what God has told you to do, because that's already coming. The wealth and all that, that's already coming. And each step is preparing and shaping and molding you to be able to handle that wealth. Trust God. Trust the path that he has for you. Trust that all things are working together for your good, that it's all a learning. You don't lose, you learn, right? You're not losing in anything. Even when it feels like you're losing, even when it feels like you're missing out, even when it feels like things are being done to you unjustly or unfairly, God is using it all. He's using it all, but have the courage to just, in the midst of everything, continue to believe what God has said about you and what God has said about your life, right? Because God's going to use you, in especially in your family, in your family's realm, to like a Joseph, right? Joseph was able to save his whole family. He was able to save all of Egypt. He was able to save the whole world, right? But he was also able to save his entire family, because of the position that he was in. He went from a convict to the second in command. So don't get too caught up in like the right now. No, God is using you. No, God's promises are true. Well, Lord, we just thank you for that. Let it be done. Give him the encouragement in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to go back to this caller because they weren't there when I went. Maybe they're there now. 984-301, are you there? Okay, they're still not there. Maybe I'll get them next time. 225-454, who am I speaking with? You there, 225-454? Okay, we'll come back to you too. 225-270, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, who am I speaking with?
Jacqueline Colbert.
You said, what's your first name again?
Jacqueline.
Hey, Jacqueline, how are you tonight?
All right.
Awesome. I'm going to mute you and pray for you. Happy New Year to you. Heavenly Father, thank you. We thank you for Jacqueline, Father God. We thank you. But thank you for the separation. I see God separating you from, like, people who would be, like, busybodies and just don't have nothing better to do with their time and try to suck you into it. I see God, like, separating you from that. And where you're not getting caught up in what other people got going on and their, you know, their drama, their gossip, whatever they got going on. Like, I see God separating you where you're not wasting any time on that, and you're really focusing on the things that God has for you in this season. Because focus is a big deal, right? Like, focus, that's why the enemy's always trying to distract. Because people will get caught up in other things. People get caught up in other people's lives or what people got going on and all that kind of stuff, and they'll miss their opportunities. They'll miss building or learning or growing in what God has for them. And so there's power in focus. And I really see you focusing on the things that God has for you and really kind of learning how to just, when people come to you with stuff that's a distraction, like being able to instantly recognize it and be like, nah, I'm not focused on that. I'm not going to get myself involved in that. I'm just going to, you know, let that be what it is and not getting caught up in that. You know, sometimes people will bring stuff to you and it is for you to, you know, provide wisdom or whatever the case may be. But sometimes it's really just a distraction. And I see you getting away from the busybodies, right? That's what they would call them. And my mom and my grandma, they would call people, oh, they're a bunch of busybodies. They ain't got nothing better to do. They just busy with mess and all that kind of stuff. But I see you getting away from and being able to even identify people like that so that it doesn't distract or get in the way of what God has you to focus on in this season for this year. So we thank you, Father God, for the discernment in Jacqueline, Father God, and for her having the grace of knowing how to handle people who just, you know, they're not trying to do better. They just want to complain or be messy or whatever the case may be, but giving her the grace of how to handle and deal with those people and how to detach and remove herself from those type of people or the situations or the circumstance that they're trying to make her a part of, how to gracefully exit. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an art to that. There's an art to that. Next is 504-282. Am I speaking with?
Hello, this is Nicole from Louisiana.
Hey, Nicole, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for calling in. Happy New Year to you. I'm going to mute you.
Happy
and
New
pray.
Year.
Thank you. Well, we thank you for Nicole for the increase, the increase of wisdom, the increase of the hidden things. I see you somewhat like, I see you like a metal detector. I used to always want a metal detector when I was a kid. I'm from a beach city. Sometimes I see people out there with the metal detectors, and sometimes they find some really cool stuff because you'd be surprised. People really be going to the beach, like, wearing, like, fine jewels and stuff. And if you're from a beach city or you've been to a beach, you know how quickly a ring falls off your finger and it's going to that sand relatively fast. And you'll be digging, and you cannot find it. But you will be surprised at how many people would go to the beach and they would dress up to go to the beach, right? They wear, I mean, I'm talking their bathing suit, their cover up and their diamond rings and their necklaces and their their bracelets and nice stuff, not costume jewelry, but really nice stuff. If, you know, they want to be shiny and look all good and look rich and stuff at the beach, and then that stuff drops into the sand and it's a wrap. So you would see people with metal detectors. So if they can find these hidden treasures, you know, stuff buried deep in the sand sometimes. It doesn't take long for that thing to go quickly deep into the sand. But people would have metal detectors, and they find some real cool stuff. And as a kid, I always had metal detectors, so I could find some cool stuff. So it's not that the things weren't there. They were just hidden, right? They were hidden under the sand. And I see God using you like a metal detector, like you bringing to the surface hidden things, hidden jewels, though, hidden nice stuff. Because sometimes, you know, metal detector, you're going to get some pennies or whatever. But, and I love pennies. I don't care. All money spent. But sometimes you find some really nice stuff. You know, like you can find Cartier bracelets and, you know, all sorts of nice stuff, depending on which beach you went to. But so it was really like some hidden treasure. And I see God using you to uncover and to bring to the surface hidden things, hidden gems, hidden treasures. So it's not that they're not in the earth. They're there. They just got some sand over it, but you're going to be the metal detector to where like, oh, here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Let's bring it up to the surface. Because does a Cartier bracelet lose its value when it's lost? No, it's still valuable, but you just can't utilize the value if it's buried somewhere. But once a person brings it to the surface, now the value could be utilized. It could be sold. It could, you know, whatever the case may be, whatever the value of it is, it can be utilized now that it's not buried anymore. And so I see you partaking in and even helping others partake in the value of these hidden things. Because they're valuable now, but if I can't utilize it, you know what I'm saying? The value is still there, but it's just buried. But once it comes to the surface, once it's in my possession, now I can utilize the value. And I see God using you in that way, in the realm of wisdom and other things. So I thank you, Lord, for Nicole. We thank you, Lord, for using her like a metal detector, so to speak, to unearth, uncover, and bring to the surface things that are already here that are valuable, but now once they're brought to the surface, we can utilize the value. We can partake in the value. So thank you for that. Continue to cover her life, her ministry, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's everybody, and I've ran out of time. So call back, 8:45, hit 1, get into the queue. Randy has been on fire. He normally on Wednesday prays over or does a message and then prays over everybody. So until next time, love you all and good night.